Hello, my name is Jennifer. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from pride, control, and lust. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you so much for tonight, for all the ears and the hearts that will hear your message of grace. I pray that you calm my nerves, and I pray that you reach out to every heart that is in desperate need of you. I ask these things in your son's name. Amen. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing to me his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I have received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. I deeply resonate with Paul in this particular scripture. I too was a blasphemer. I couldn't stand Christians. I was deeply ignorant in unbelief. I chose my own ways and believed myself to be an amazing and intelligent human being. I never would have imagined that the grace and mercy of our God would bring me here tonight, that I would stand before you and share God's story of grace in my own life, how he rescued me from the pit. He pursued me endlessly, and he still does. If there is anything that I can leave you with, is that God, being so rich in mercy, is pursuing you right now in this moment. That nothing in your past or even your present is too much for God to handle. That his grace is sufficient and his blood will purify even the darkest stain of sin. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mother was a self-proclaimed pagan, and in her terms, that meant that she was a creature of the earth who dwells in the land. I still don't know exactly what that means. She would take my brother and me to a pagan community center, and the only thing I really gained from this experience was that I got to learn bongo drums, and I enjoyed a beautiful garden. My mother also taught me to simply tolerate Christians, that if they were to ask me if I believed in Jesus, just to tell them yes, so that I wouldn't have to deal with their silly fairy tale of the gospel. My parents were also drug addicts, divorced, and just not present in my upbringing. Early on, I took a parenting role in my home, taking my brother and me to school, ensuring that we had what we needed in the house. At 14, I began illegally driving and only relying on myself. And I see this as the birthplace of my intense pride. My mother encouraged me to pursue men, and she made me to believe that my worth was in whether or not a man ever wanted me. I began dating at a young age, and I participated in a sexual relationship that left me empty, broken, and abused. I mistook that empty and abusive relationship for love, and I began to idolize men. By the time I was 16, my mother fell ill and was diagnosed with a deadly blood disorder. She became an amputee, and her depression and her drug addiction tripled. During this time, I recall my mother overdosing often and then going through withdrawals. Some days, I would check on her to see if she was still alive. And other days, during the withdrawal process, she was manic and would become abusive. My father came back home during this time to help, but his presence in the home made it worse, as he and my mother fought constantly. As a means to escape my home life, I became involved in many school programs, and I took on a job after school. However, I drank and smoked marijuana most days to try to relax or to try to feel like a normal teenager. By the time I graduated, I decided to marry my high school sweetheart, and we moved away to Little Rock, Arkansas. My husband joined the Air Force, and I was extremely proud to be his wife. I thought that I had achieved the greatest goal in my life in marrying him. I saw him as my God and Savior for taking me away from my destructive family. And I thought my marriage would fix everything. Being so young, I had no concept of marriage, nor how to be a wife. We partied all the time, and we saw the world as our own playground. My mother passed away shortly after we got married, and her death caused me to spiral into a depression. Her death didn't only take a huge toll on me, but also my marriage. My husband, in trying to love me the only way that he knew how, tried to be my only source of happiness, and he did everything in his power to keep me from getting worse. He deployed to Afghanistan frequently during our marriage. In just 3 years that we were married, he went to war 4 times. This was extremely hard on me. I made many attempts to enjoy him while he was home, but he was becoming a stranger to me. Right when I felt close to my husband, he would have to leave again. The back and forth with being alone and then together made our marriage extremely hard to bear. So on my 22nd birthday, my life turned upside down when my husband told me that he wanted a divorce. I was blindsided by this announcement. Though the struggles with our marriage were persistent, I thought we were making progress. I soon found out that he was having an affair and was on numerous casual sex and dating websites. This completely wrecked me. I recall during that time, I felt extremely hopeless, as if the ground fell out beneath my feet. I hurt myself on purpose, and I wanted to leave this world. Who was I outside my husband? I had no idea whatsoever. In the midst of all my despair, God was pursuing me. Out of an attempt for me to find a reason to live, I began to search motivational speakers on YouTube. I came across sermons that clearly talked about the grace, about God's grace, and I finally heard the gospel for the first time, that God sent his perfect son to die on a cross for the salvation of the world, that his love is so immense and he desires to rescue me. I knew a few things about Jesus, but none of my views were very positive. The sermons were weighing heavy on my heart, and I was reluctant to believe any of it. I was only listening to these sermons because I found some hope in them. During that time of me binging on sermons, a woman who I barely knew through mutual friends invited me to lunch out of the blue. I accepted her invitation, though I thought it was strange that she wanted to meet up randomly. During our visit, she shared the gospel with me as well. She had no idea what was going on in my life. But in her faithfulness to God, she shared the gospel with me, and I accepted Christ that night. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing with your heart that you are made right with God, and by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Romans 10:9-10. Something in my heart knew that God sent her to me. He was real, and I saw him in her, that he was really pursuing me. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost, as Jesus said in Luke 19:10. And God really was on a mission for me, to call me to his love, to rescue me, to renew me. The weight of his love was so much to bear. I fell to my knees and asked God to forgive me and show me his ways. I knew from that moment on, my life would never be the same. I fell deeply in love with Jesus. In the midst of our marital problems, my husband had to go to Afghanistan yet again. And I had to come back home to Dallas when he left, as he was forcing me out. My first order of business was to find a good church home. I began searching biblical marriage ministries around Dallas on the internet, and I found Watermark through Reengage, Watermark's marriage ministry. I came to a Sunday service, and I was shocked to hear a pastor talk about a past pornography and sexual addiction. I found his transparency and authenticity to be beautiful, and I knew I found my church home. I came to re-engage the following Wednesday, where a leader pointed me to Regeneration, Watermark's 12-step recovery ministry that is biblically based. I was very excited to begin Regeneration. I came here in hopes of it helping me to find a way to fix my marriage. I quickly learned that God wanted me to take my eyes off my husband for once and to take a deep look at my own heart and at God himself. This was not easy for me, as I never really looked at myself in honesty, let alone biblical honesty. I realized just how much of a wreck I really was and how out of control my life was. I began to learn why I needed a savior. The fall of man in Genesis opened my eyes to the real enemy that we have as human beings, how Satan was set to destroy me, and I needed to go into battle alongside with God to combat the areas in my heart that Satan had a foothold on. Inventory was the beginning of that battlefield. Taking a truthful inventory showed me how I had been affected by sins against me and the sins that I committed. While listing out the harms that had been done to me was easy, I struggled with listing the sins I committed and how I had harmed others. My pride wanted me to believe that I was only a victim, that I didn't have to account for me hurting others because of what I had been through. Thankfully, God doesn't let us keep that mindset. Inventory showed me just how deep and real my sins really are. How deep-rooted I was in lust, that I had committed adultery against my husband by feeding my heart impure images early on in our marriage, and the many ways that lust played a huge role in my childhood. I found that I was so prideful and controlling towards my husband. Even though I had a good desire in wanting my marriage restored, the way I went about it to achieve it was totally wrong. I beat the Bible into my husband's head. I pointed out how wrong he was. I made many attempts to try to control him and the impending divorce that he was forcing. I did not trust God with it at all. Once I began to realize what I was doing, I struggled to truly give it over to God. The divorce papers sat in a drawer for nearly 9 months. I signed them just days away from going to court. I learned that my husband was already engaged to another woman. And out of fear and anger, I signed those papers. I was tired of fighting. They married just days after the divorce was finalized. I felt defeated. My emotions were all over the place. Some days I was angry with God, and other days I begged God to forgive me for seeking my own way and giving up on his plan for marriage, not realizing that he was still in control. I struggled through recovery, but I didn't stop showing up. I fell into deep sin while in recovery as I found myself in a relationship where we struggled with purity. Thankfully, God didn't let me stay in that very long, as when step six came around, I found that I really needed to flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, as a foundation verse for step six from 2 Timothy 2:22 calls from. I ended the relationship and confessed to my group what I had been hiding and repented. I found this experience to be the turning point in my recovery process. As we moved into step eight, I realized my deep need to forgive. I struggled to forgive so many people in my life, not only my ex-husband, but my family, my sexual abusers, and other people who I felt had chipped away at my life. I felt an odd comfort in holding on to resentment because I wanted to hold on to my victim mentality. The battle to find forgiveness towards my ex-husband lasted very long. I soon found myself putting many scriptures on forgiveness on post-it notes around my home, car, and work. My key verse being, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Colossians 3:12-13. I reflected often on Christ on the cross, beaten and betrayed, stripped naked and nailed. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It pierced my heart, and I worked diligently to trust in God's justice for sin and not my own. As I was able to make amends with most of the people that I had listed, I have not been able to make amends to my ex-husband. This is still something I am prayerfully working towards, as my community group feels it is wise for me to continue to heal and wait a bit longer before getting in contact with him. I deeply desire to make the amends, to show him God's love, and to humble myself before him. But my concern is the state of his current marriage, as I do not want to do anything that may bring them harm. I am choosing to trust God and those he has placed in my life about the timing of these amends. Upon completing the regen steps with my group, I was able to stand amazed at the time I spent working to recover from my life of sin and destruction. I still work the steps daily, though I am much quicker to see my sin, to flee from it, to seek repentance and amends with those around me. I now found so much joy in sharing the gospel with everyday people that I meet. Recently, while traveling, I was stuck 8 hours at the airport in Salt Lake City. I felt so much anger and weariness creeping up on me, so I began to pray for God to use the time I was stuck there to find a friend to share the gospel with. I prayed for God to use me, and in that moment, a woman sat down next to me. We ended up having a very deep and tearful conversation about the hardships that she was facing in her own life. As we sat and talked, people began to sit near us and joined in on our conversation. As we kept talking and sharing, I decided to share the gospel to not only her, but about 15 more people who sat around us. We all prayed together, and I'm still amazed at this, as God was so very faithful. I only asked for one friend, and he sent me so many others to hear of his goodness. God is active in my life, and he is alive, and I see his goodness and grace everywhere. I now have had the honor to co-lead an amazing group of women who just recently finished the steps. I found that I benefited greatly from reworking the step curriculum a second time. God is continuing to work in my heart and in my everyday life to be more like him. I have changed the way that I handle conflict. I find joy in reading his word and spending time in daily prayer. I enjoy doing life alongside my amazing community group who loves me deeply and admonishes me greatly, gracefully. I have found purpose and meaning in my life, which is to faithfully serve God and his people. I have finally found myself. My identity is secure in Christ. I no longer question who I really am. God knew me before I ever came to be. As Psalm 139:13-16 says, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." I pray for you to believe that you were created with a purpose, and he knew you before you ever breathed air, and he is pursuing you right now in this very moment. Thank you, and have a great night.